Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
Hello, friends. Welcome inside another edition of Talk of Champions, a live edition of Talk of Champions. Game runs deep, actually. Sorry, Sudu. That's Sudu Upadhyay.
It's both.
It's both.
It's both. It's sure Talk of Champs and Game Runs Deep.
I love Sudu.
That's Benny.
How are you doing today?
What's the song today, Ben? That's not what it was yesterday.
Yesterday was a show that was copyrighted music. So today went back to the old, I went back to the old, just generic intro. I got one of those things like no copyright music, but it's kind of a banger, really. It's kind of a banger. So
I like that.
Welcome in to Game Runs Deep. I'm Ben Garrett. He's Sudu Upadhyay. The Pete Golding era is officially on for Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin is now the head coach of LSU. And so begins what is sure to be one of the most unforgettable stories in college football history, especially with the way Ole Miss could end the season potentially. Got a call like right before we jumped on from a player who was just being supportive and everything. But when I tell you that group in there are fired up and they're thinking, hey, go win the whole friggin' thing, just like they say in Major League, that's exactly what's happening. And I think Ole Miss is in the best place it could be considering the circumstances, because it was an absolutely messy exit. So I told Sudu, and I'll let Sudu get at it in a minute, but like Sudu, a lot of frequently asked questions over and over that people want to know from this, and we're going to get into that. But how are you this morning?
I'm well, buddy. I'm well. And let me just throw in a little plug. Some of you might be wondering about this QR code that's to the right of me here, up top. So if you would like to get any kind of merch regarding Lane Kiffin's messy exit from Oxford, please follow that QR code, and you will find some pretty good stuff. That's all I'll say. I'll just let you go peruse through that store. But the proceeds of that is going to benefit our friend Caitlin, who is going through a fertility journey. And it would be really awesome to be able to help and for you guys to get some cool merch, maybe for Christmas. Give to your friends or family that are also unhappy with the way Lane Kiffin handled the exit from Ole Miss. I think you'll find the merch very funny and appropriate for the situation, and I'll just leave it at that. But yeah, feel free to scan that at any point. And once again, the proceeds of that will go to a good cause for someone to start a family. So I think that's a big deal. But outside of that, Benny, I am well. You want to talk about the most important questions being asked? I think first of all, let's start with this. Did Ole Miss make the right decision in hiring Pete Golding? That's the question I've gotten the most. Sudu, was this a rush decision? Was this because Keith's hand was forced with Lane? My answer is partly yes, but it was also the most strategic move that was available, and I'm glad Keith Carter took it instead of taking a shot on someone that you weren't really that enthusiastic about.
That's the key point. Because of all of the delay tactics with Lane Kiffin over the last week, and make no mistake, had Auburn beaten Alabama in the Iron Bowl and Ole Miss had gone to the SEC championship game, while Ole Miss, it would have put Ole Miss in a much worse position, because then it would have been hard to not let him coach that, dragging this out even further. But quite frankly, Sunday was the crescendo point for not just Ole Miss. I mean, look what all dominoes fell. John Sumrall went to Florida. You had Ryan Silverfield go to Arkansas, Alex Golish go to Auburn. All of these things didn't just happen coincidentally around the same time. A lot of moving parts came to a head. So essentially the bulk of the coaching carousel, the vast majority of that spinning has been spun. Now Kentucky's making a move. They moved on from Mark Stoops. So that's like they're getting into the game really late because, you know, Kentucky might have wanted to really go after John Sumrall, a native son, had they gotten into this market much earlier. But the timeline has changed completely. So Ole Miss forced into this situation on Sunday. I think Keith Carter, Glenn Boyce handled it the only way they possibly could to mitigate the damage that had already been done and to stop that bleeding and now just move, right? Now they can actually go forward rather than continually go backwards. So, yeah, man, like it, I think they handled it exactly right. I mean, do we think it's fair to say, well, is Pete Golding the best person they could hire to replace Lane Kiffin? No, not necessarily. And like, no one's arguing that, but, he would have been considered anyway, and considering all the options and the way the timetable kind of played out, he was far and away the only option. He's the one that's been holding the recruiting class together. We've already got some recruiting questions about losing commitments. I think Carmelo Reed's going to sign on Wednesday. I know Corey Barber decommitted. Charlie Weiss, whether he stays or goes, is going to be an important piece. He's supposed to be coaching the playoffs, but he did get on the plane to Charlie Weiss yesterday. So there's some parts of that at play, but like, Pete was the one in charge of that and the transfer portal strategy for January, because somebody had to do it.
Yeah.
Like Lane wasn't doing it. Lane hasn't worked in that capacity in a long time.
I was going to say, like, Pete's been the main recruiting guy, right? That's been the big thing since he got in from Bama, was kind of, I don't want to say modernizing, but just making Ole Miss's recruiting like competitive, as before Lane was primarily using the portal and has never been a big recruiter. We know this. That's kind of one of the allure. I guess part of the allure of going to LSU for him is like, oh, this place kind of recruits itself, like as far as high school is concerned. So Pete has been a big factor in that. Ben, I'm going to do a video sometime today or tomorrow on Pete and who he is. It'll be on my socials, and I'll collab the Ole Miss Spirit if you guys follow them on Instagram. But I have a bunch of notes on this guy. If you want me to kind of throw some stuff that I found interesting. I mean, obviously I've known about Pete Golding since his days at Bama, but I mean, he's a young guy, right? He's 41 years old, and I'm not comparing him to Kirby Smart, but some of the parallels are very interesting to me between the two guys.
Knowing fully what they're going to do when you say this, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, somebody yesterday on Twitter, I forget who it was, tweeted, remember the last time a coach left for LSU and promoted its interim, Marcus Freeman. So then everyone's like, oh, Pete and Marcus Freeman. I'm not, no way, shape, or form, I'm not trying to say Pete Golding is Kirby Smart, but interesting parallels. Both sons of high school football coaches, both extremely like high IQ football guys, is what I kind of found researching a little bit more about Pete. Now, this is a guy who walked on at Delta State. I think he got a $500 scholarship, walked on at Delta State, ended up leaving as one of the best safeties to come through that school. Went on to coach almost immediately after, and like his mentors are like Ron Roberts, who was the DC of Florida, and I think he still is up to this point. But Ron Roberts is like one of those like unsung heroes in the coaching profession, of the amount of people he's mentored throughout his years and that have gone on to be successful.
Long list
of people.
Yeah.
And no one compares to Kirby Smart. David, I 100% agree. I am not trying to say he is. Let me just make this very clear. He's not Kirby Smart. But I found it very interesting, like seeing some of the parallels and just the way people talk about him, like the high football IQ. Like when you get Pete Golding on a board, Nick Saban talks about interviewing him. And I read this in an article. I think it was from The Athletic, maybe. Might have been our guy Bruce Feldman that posted this maybe a year ago or something. But when Saban interviewed Pete Golding, apparently Saban left like part of the interview for a break and went on to tell an assistant, this is one of the most impressive interviews I've ever been in. Like, is at the top of the list. As just as far as being a ball knower, defensive schemes and all that kind of stuff, like Golding is very well respected. I know a lot of Bama fans at the end of, and there you go, there are some of his accomplishments, and you can't deny like the best defense in school history came at the hands of Pete Golding when he had the resources and the players a year ago. But you know, there was a lot of animosity about Golding when he was at Alabama because it was kind of an impossible job. Like, you're at a school that had Kirby Smart previously, and then you're Golding, and a few years later you take over. When you're good, Saban got all the credit. And then when you were bad, it was all about, well, it's Golding's fault. And he kind of got a bad rap at the end there. Of course, he had like the DUI thing happen. And then he sort of like parted ways, and his wife wanted to be closer to Oxford, came to Ole Miss, whatever. And Bama fans were like happy to get rid of him. But I know for a fact, like this is on good sourcing, that Saban tried very hard to keep Pete Golding in Tuscaloosa. He did not want him to leave. That wasn't one of those moves. It was like, all right, man, we'll see ya. Like, he wanted to keep him. Like, Saban loves this guy. Ron Roberts loves this guy. When you just read about these different coaches that have worked with him or mentored him, the way they talk about Pete as a first of all, just an X's and O's guys, gives me solace as a person that is an Ole Miss fan of knowing, all right, at least this guy knows ball. This isn't just some rah-rah guy they brought in to kind of keep the team together. Like, he's a legitimate defensive mind that's very well respected. Now, the other aspect of this, Ben, is obviously who he is as a person. People talk about his infectious energy. He's chill, but, like, very
intense.
Intense at the same time. Yeah, like, he finds a way to, like, I saw, I think it was Dave Portnoy tweeted about his, like, introduction video when Keith announced him and was like, I just didn't see enough juice or something like, and I had a buddy text me be like, you know, that was really Pete's moment to rally the team. I'm like, did you not see the reaction? They announced him in that meeting room. Everybody lost their minds. But what was more telling to me was that when they left that building, they were yelling, we're going to win the Natty. Pete Golding is our coach. Like, those guys love him because he cultivated those relationships the entire time he's been in Oxford. Lane, as much credit as we give Lane for his success, and you have to, Lane was not that guy. Lane had like a couple guys that were his guys, the Jackson Darts, the Kewon Lacys, you know, like sure. He had his favorites, like the teacher's pets that he was really tight with, and everybody else was almost surface level. That's what I'm gathering, Ben. I don't know if that's what you've kind of gathered from who you've talked to, but that's what I figured in the last like 48 hours, really the last week, that Lane hasn't always been like the most approachable and like,
oh no,
the type of guy that cultivates deep relationships with every single player. It's not the case. If you're a star, 100%. But Golding,
even if you're
has
a star, because I had one of his stars from a defense that was record setting. Again, let's bring up the stats here. Look at what Pete Golding's defense did last year with elite talent. Walter Nolan did not transfer to Ole Miss because of Lane Kiffin. Trey Amos did not transfer to Ole Miss because of Lane Kiffin.
Trey Amos definitely didn't. We know
Trey Amos came from Alabama. He had a relationship with Pete Golding. Wydette Williams was the same thing. I can go through all of these guys that they went like Dejon Robbins, Dejon Anthony, excuse me. We could go through a lot of players that were specifically Pete Golding guys. So while losing Lane is obviously a blow, and no one is denying that, what we are saying is operationally, Ole Miss, this was the only move to make to continue along a playoff contending course.
100%.
To keep preserve as much of this what has been built, preserve as much as has been built for at least a playoff run, if not longer. They could very well be back in the coaching market in a couple years. There's no guarantee beyond that. But for right now, and right now is all that matters in a title chase, Pete Golding was the only coach with the timeline that they were faced with amongst so many other issues of the creation of Lane Kiffin. Pete Golding was really the only move to make. I had a lot of assistant coaches talking about how Pete had already shored up staff. Like, it could have been a bloodletting had not, you know, Pete pretty much secured the entire defensive staff. All of you out there are curious because, again, we're answering frequently asked questions about the departure of Lane Kiffin and the ushering in of the Pete Golding era. The first one from Sudu was, did Ole Miss make the right move? It was the only move.
Yeah.
And because now it allows you to keep Randall Joyner, Brian Brown, Wes Neighbors. And when you talk about gutting the offensive staff, what you're really asking is Charlie Weiss going to coach or not? There's dialogue with Ole Miss and Pete Golding and Charlie Weiss at the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com. If you're on three, sign up today for $1. We're talking about that. Ole Miss is going to, like, they're still in negotiations. Charlie Weiss would be an offensive coordinator candidate. But, you know, I understand when these coaches like Charlie, they have to kind of keep their options open, especially when you're given an ultimatum that if you don't make something now, you won't have a job. I get trying to play both sides of it because you've got to look out for yourself. So Charlie's really the one we're talking about. George McDonald is gone. Joe Cox is gone. Neither of those surprised me. Kevin Smith is one we're trying to figure out if he's going or staying. He was in the team meeting celebrating with everybody with Pete Golding. I know for a fact that Kevin Smith He was one of the ones that really didn't love how any of this was shaking out for a number of reasons, not the least of which is his son, Kevin Smith Jr., is really balling out at Oxford High School right now. And from a lot of moving around the last 10 years for Kevin Smith, they'd kind of gotten their feet under him. So while he is a Lane guy and I would expect him to eventually follow, I think right now the only true question mark in regards to the coaching staff is what are the offensive roles? If George McDonald's not going to be a part of the playoffs race, do you bring Derek Nix in? Their season is over. Do you go talk to Derek Nix? I know that there's interest in bringing Derek Nix back. He would help you with the in-state recruiting piece. But
what is the rule,
signing day is on Wednesday.
Sorry to interrupt here, but what is the rule on that? Someone actually asked me that the other day of like, hey, what? How would it work with assistants? Could you bring assistants in from other schools in the middle of a run? Like, because there are really no rules at college football. I don't even know why I'm asking
that
as if it's like the NFL.
There's no rules. But, there's no rule. Okay. Like, well, think about it this way. In 2020, whatever it was, no, it wasn't 20. The 2000, when Lane, before he left for Florida Atlantic, when he was the offensive coordinator for Nick Saban, where he started his rehabilitation arc. Right. In the national championship, he accepted the FAU job, and Nick Saban, who is now doing the bidding of CAA on the ESPN CAA network, comes out and says, I'm done with this, go on, and he replaces him with Steve Sarkisian. Yes, Steve Sarkisian was on staff, but also Ole Miss could fill out its staff with some guys that are already in the room, like Joe Judge, for example. Joe Judge, yeah. As far as I know, is hanging around, and that's your quarterback's coach. So really, when you're talking about gutting the offensive staff, like I looked at the list. Go find it on Twitter and send it to me, okay? There's a list of the coaches that left with him. I saw one that I would say is of real consequence, and Charlie Weiss is up in the air, right? So while a lot of people are going to be freaking out or reading it that way, because Ole Miss went the route of Pete Golding, not saying, well, Pete's the interim and we're going to do a full-on search now. They'd already done a search. They'd already done full-on work with John Sumrall. John Sumrall had reservations about following Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, but also John Sumrall doesn't have to wait for anyone either, right? So, like, he cut, like, good for John Sumrall for setting that deadline for Sunday, because that kind of forced even more hands, right? Auburn was wanting to hear from John Sumrall. Arkansas was, they weren't in it, but point being is that now Dane Stevens move on to the field. That's a good question. That's what I'm thinking about. Like, he was calling plays last year for West Georgia. He could be your tight ends coach in place of Joe Cox. I don't think Daquan Wright and Luke Haas are going to lose, and Caleb Odom are going to lose much being coached by Dane Stevens for an hour every day more than Joe Cox, especially over a playoff run. That's where you had to get it stabilized for the playoff run, because I believe in a shortened season, like in a short time frame, the Kiffin impact is negligible. Where Lane Kiffin is at his absolute best, y'all, is in game. He is a football beautiful mind. He is insane. He can see, he can diagnose, he can script better than anybody in the business offensively. So you do lose that component. That could very well be the difference against Ohio State in the playoffs. But as far as operationally, everything else that gets you to that playoff game, the recruiting angle, which Lane had nothing to do with. And again, a former player calls me yesterday, one of his absolute stars, and was like, dude, he hated the man. He never talked to him, ever. Lane talked to his mom once in his multi-year career, and that was on his recruiting visit when he was coming out of the portal.
The rapper Plies, funny enough, entered the Ole Miss coaching discussion yesterday. And Plies made a – interesting. I'm so funny. I'm sitting here quoting Plies on our podcast. But
heck yeah, you are. Now you're understanding the assignment. Like, all I want to get out of this, honestly, because y'all see that QR code, that's for our friend Caitlin, who's just trying to raise some money. And like, whatever proceeds, if it's a lot, I want to get her, like, help her in her fertility journey. We want to help her there. But also, like, if the rest of it goes to the Grove Collective, none of it's going to come to anyone else but Caitlin for her fertility thing. And then Walker wants it. I don't care. I didn't design it. This is her stuff. So, this is – I want y'all to – like, for me, when you think about, like, what's the difference now? And I got the call this morning. It's so quiet over there. What a nice change of pace.
I know.
What a nice change of pace.
But, like you mentioned, the recruit thing, Plies, actually, funny enough, him making this point made it click to me.
What I was saying is, nobody. All I ever get out of this is getting to meet Project Pat, I'm good.
Ben, I can probably.
I hope everybody's making shirts and stuff off of this. Like, I don't know how to get cut in. No one's really reached out. You know, some people reached out for interviews. And I really want to do it, but I don't think I'm able to because I work for a corporation that, you know, like that they tell, like they cut my checks and they've been great to me. But the, you know, so if I can't make money off of it, y'all can't cut me in or show me how, because, you know, at least can we get me meeting Project Pat? He's a minister in Arkansas now. I'll just go.
I can probably, Ben, I'm not even joking with you. I have a friend who actually went to Ole Miss. He's a big music guy in Memphis. I could probably reach out to him. I just
do not tease me.
I'm not teasing you, man. I'm not teasing you. I'll text him and I don't know. Maybe we can get him on the pod. But my point is, back to Plies. Plies said he's never heard a former player say anything good about Lane. Like, you talk about all these people talk about, like, Saban and all these, like Kirby and all these guys, you know, they talk about how they mentored them and how they were big roles in their lives or whatever. You never really hear that about Lane, right? Like, Dart will obviously give him credit. Like, maybe some of his quarterbacks.
Matt Corral did it. He did the salute with the LSU thing. But here's the thing. Here's the truth about Matt Corral. Great Rebel man. One of the most consequential quarterbacks in Rebels ever. But Matt has – he hadn't been around since he left. He's been around maybe one time. And, like, he doesn't really – he's never really wanted to be active as far as former players and giving and stuff like that.
He's been through it too, though.
He's been through it, and they have a lot of shared pain together, man. I like Matt Corral, but I'm saying, like, other than that, you're not seeing, like, so long, Coach, fare thee well. You left such a lasting impact on me, but that's also not what the requirement is anymore either. Like, there's a reason they said they've called it pro mindset for years, because this is a pro mindset. This is a pro business structure. This is a corporate structure, and if the CEO is getting let go by the board of supervisors, the employees have to keep going. They have to keep working. Like, you don't worry about what's happening on the third floor when you're on the first or the second. You just do your job. I think it's telling that so many players have reached out to me directly. You've seen it on Twitter probably, and they're saying this is, like, we can get back to what matters now. We can do what matters now, because they were sick of that cult of personality too. This is their season. They are 11-1 and going to the playoffs. And I know one of the other frequently asked questions that we're getting is about the playoffs. So let me figure out where I can find it. Hold on.
You were talking about the members who left. So here's the list, right? Right now, the guys who were on the plane went to Baton Rouge. Charlie Weiss, who's still up in the air, as you mentioned, for the playoffs. Receivers coach George McDonald. You got our tight ends coach Joe Cox, former tight ends coach, I should say. Strength and conditioning coach Nick Savage. General manager Billy Glasscock. Senior associate AD for football ops, Thad Rivers. Senior director of player personnel, Mike Williams. And offensive grad assistant, Sawyer Jordan. And then, of course, Chris Kiffin, Lane's brother.
Okay. he was like assistant D-line coach for a minute. Then he was assistant linebackers coach. Chris wants to get back on the field, and this is an opportunity.
Hey, what happens to Austin Thomas? Do we get Austin? Does Austin Thomas come back? That's another question I keep getting. Does former Ole Miss general manager Austin Thomas, who left Lane Kiffin for LSU last season, does he come back to Ole Miss now?
There's already been communication. He's one of the people they're talking to, actively filling it out, because Billy Glasscock is a loss for them. Make no mistake. That's the most consequential guy on that list to me. He's also Lane's guy. They're going to compensate him. But, like, Austin Thomas was who Billy Glasscock replaced when Austin left to go back home to LSU years ago at Ole Miss. Like, Austin is formerly of Ole Miss. There's a relationship there. So that would be an obvious fit. And Austin is great. I have a relationship with him, man. He's a good, good dude. I don't know if it's going to be him. And I know he was he was one of the people out there in the tarmac, you know, welcoming Lane Kiffin, but also you work until you don't, unless you're Lane Kiffin and you just cry. But
I was going to say, man, I saw a clip from, I think, Tyler Siski. Is it yesterday? Someone sent me a clip from Tyler Siski. I think he had mentioned that when Lane was hired at Ole Miss, he immediately packed up his office. Regardless of whether he knew or not, he was staying or leaving. Siski said he packed up all his stuff and was ready to move out. And that just should let you know, I think Austin Thomas left Lane. You know Lane, bro. I mean, like, knowing Lane's personality, I don't see a world in which Lane goes, you know what, Austin, we can find a role for you here.
I don't either. But also, he was on that tarmac and he was rooting him on, cheering him on. I mean, I should find that picture for y'all. But there's been communication with him. There's been communication. This Ole Miss fans are going to love this. There's been real communication about bringing Barney Ferrar back.
I'm here for it. I love Barney, man. I was a huge Barney guy. Barney took fell on the sword for the wrong guy. And I always felt bad for him, because when Barney was in that building, there was just a different energy there, man.
And I just got a text. I mean, Lane's already reached out to Emmanuel Tucker here in New Albany for a flip. I mean, he's got Kelvin Bolden down there. And I was told, quote, that ain't happening. And it was an expletive afterward. And I'm trying not to say bad words anymore, which is probably going to last till 154. But the point is like Lane was trying to take the whole thing down on the way out.
Yeah.
No one.
Okay. That's the question. That's another question, Ben, that you want to talk about popular questions.
Did I answer the other one, though? What was the other one? I just forgot it.
No, we just spent forever talking about Golding and it devolved into the things that it does with you and me. Austin Thomas, the next question that I keep
Barney
getting
Farrar.
Is, did Lane Kiffin offer players money to get on the plane with him? Is that true or false? Have you?
I can't verify that.
I haven't heard that.
I really haven't. Yeah. Would it surprise me? Absolutely not. I'd actually would be disappointed if he didn't, because like that's doing good business, honestly, in this world, this Wild West world. And before we move on, I can't verify that. It wouldn't surprise me, but the ultimatum that he publicly went on Pat McAfee as a cheerleader for Ole Miss because he wanted cover for how bad he was handling this, the ultimatum that he pushed back against that Ole Miss had given, which was true and has bore out, he gave them a same kind of ultimatum on Sunday. Either you get on this plane or you don't. And like LSU sent a couple of jets. Now they had a lot of seats. They thought they were going to bring back like 24.
I was going to say, was it three planes total? Is that correct? Or was it two planes total? I was told one of the planes was not full.
Tex-Mex Barbecue 7085. Lane denied saying coaches needed to follow him. He said they were free to make their own choices. He also said that it wasn't an ultimatum, and he's not coaching his team in the playoffs because Ole Miss said, if you want to go, you go, but you're not staying.
He also he said the players wanted
he argue semantically, man. It's
We've
so
all been misguided
silly.
By Lane Kiffin, guys. It's okay if you believed something that wasn't true. Okay, the other one that's really popular, Ben, we got to get down to the bottom of this. Did Lane Kiffin leave Juice in Oxford? Does he even own him? Did he use him as a prop this entire time?
He's been like Juice has got a primary has had a primary caretaker for 2 years, and according to my guy Chase over there at Rebels 247, he was left in town. I know that it's always just been a prop for Lane. And I'm really curious about what happened to his German Shepherd friend. You know what I mean? That was, quote, Landry's, that has just disappeared off the face of the earth. Did they take him out to Aunt Marie's farm?
We should have Wild Rose Kennels on and ask them what the deal is with Juice, if he was actually, because I don't, like you said,
I think it's pretty much obvious now. That wasn't his dog.
No. And no, the way he talked about, if you go back and listen to the way Lane talked about Juice, it was like, if you go back and watch it now, you go, huh, I guess it makes sense. Because you're like, I guess he's got a whatever now, or they keep feeding him. Like, the way he says things, it's like that he's not involved in the process. It's just, I use him as a prop. Pretty crazy. Okay, the other one, Ben, that's really important that I keep getting questions about is, are Trinidad Chambliss and Kewon Lacey going to be available for the playoffs? Are they going to go with Lane, or are they staying? I think Trinidad stays, right?
I would be absolutely shocked if any player of consequence would voluntarily forfeit a national title run, which is quite literally why you do all those miserable runs that no one sees in the summer, why you put in all the work, I would be shocked if any player, especially one of consequence, would volunteer that out of loyalty, like voluntarily give that up out of loyalty to Lane Kiffin. Is it a possibility? Sure, because anything is possible in this culture. Trinidad Chambliss, in that scenario, I would say far and away the one that I would be least worried about of those two to leave. But even Kewon, like the fact that Kewon hasn't been getting the attention for being a dark horse Heisman candidate when he even shouldn't even be a dark horse, when you've got a Doak Walker Award finalist, like he has gotten the shine taken away from him in his individual success. So you mean to tell me from the guy that did that to him, that took the shine off of him when we were all saying it's about the players, he's going to just voluntarily give all of that up to follow him? I find that very hard to believe. Could it happen? Sure, but there's nothing of that has happened yet. Another question that we didn't get to earlier was like, does Ole Miss make the playoffs? There is no data point that would ever lead to Ole Miss being left out. Could a committee of stuffy old men in suits say, well, without Lane, they're different, so we're going to let them be a 7 seed instead of a 4 or 5. Let me ask you a question, Sudu. If this team had LSU on the side of it, if it had Alabama on the side of it, Do you think there'd be any question marks from stuffy old men in suits with biases and old held beliefs about what college football used to be that doesn't exist anymore? Do you think that they would be having the same kind of debate? No.
I don't think those two programs, no. But, I mean, like, we saw it with Florida State, who for many, many years was a very, like, well-recognized power, like, a program, like a legitimate – I don't know if it was – you called it blue blood, but, I mean, they were a top college football for a long time, and they did it to Florida State a few years ago. But that was kind of already on sort of a downward trend of the ACC, and that was really the first signal that the committee does not respect the ACC. But, no, Bama, Georgia, Florida, LSU – any of these teams, 11-1, if their coach left, I don't think they'd be getting this kind of conversation. It is what you deal with when you're always. It's just like the LSU fans in the comments right now. You know,
who's
like,
Ben's loyal to Jesus Christ, who is exactly who he said he was, and also, secondly, my people's, my community, my family, and nothing's personal. It's not. And y'all can believe if you want to. I got the receipts. Lane texted me Saturday after all that stuff. He called me Saturday to apologize. Lane treats everything like wrestling. He doesn't while y'all are saying you should do this, you should do that. I'm good with Lane. Lane's good with me. I'm like, who am I loyal to? You pour into people that pour into you, man. That's all you do. Like, y'all want to, I'm happy for Ole Miss. LSU. Y'all got the coach that y'all set out to get. It ain't like that. However, if you can't look past your purple and gold and say, man, that was messed up. Well, who are you loyal to? And that blind loyalty is going to come back to bite you in the butt. If in 3 years he goes 9-3 with your very best roster, like he did last year with Ole Miss, it wasn't the defense's fault. Pete Golding and that defense set records with his guys, Walter Nolan, Trey Amos, Jared Ivey, JJ Pegues was coming home either way. Lane Kiffin to get JJ Pegues here.
Yeah, I think 2022 and 2024 are always going to be the defining. Like, yeah, he won a bunch of double-digit win seasons. Like, that can never be taken away from Lane. He's a hell of a coach. We've said it time and time again. We'll keep saying it. But 2022 and 2024 are definitely the two kind of, like, asterisks you look at and you go, what the hell happened? You know, I mean, 2022, the amazing start, as we've mentioned, torpedoing that season by flirting with Auburn. Playing games with Keith Carter then. That's kind of what created the rift between them a little bit. And then, obviously, last season, all the off-the-field stuff that's starting to come out. Whether it's true or not, you can decide. You can go look up what they're calling the Lanestein files, Ben. Once again, we're not reporting. We're not saying anything officially on that. That's just it's information that's out there. But, it's awesome. Like, it's a great win for LSU. LSU fans in the comments, like, I'm in no way, shape, or form.
This ain't even about y'all.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Really
this ain't about y'all.
This ain't about y'all. This is about Ole Miss making a terrible situation, trying to salvage it to the best of their ability. Good luck dealing with Lane Kiffin. I mean, Tennessee fans warned Ole Miss people, and we all laughed at them. And you saw what happened. The minute Bama opens up, I just want to let y'all know, the minute Bama opens up, good luck.
Because it ain't just Penn State that wants to talk to Kalen DeBoer. I've heard that USC is Kalen DeBoer's dream job. And Lincoln Riley's very much in play at Penn State. And in this world where there's no loyalty, I mean, there's no loyalty in this game. What do they say about these aren't loyal? You know what I mean? It ain't just any one person. I mean, it's like, it's the business, right? Yeah. Kalen DeBoer isn't bending his knee to Alabama and LSU while y'all are excited and good for you, man. Y'all going to win some games. It ain't about you no more. It's going to be – you're going to be fed into the beast that is Lane Kiffin. You are now Lane Kiffin's.
And LSU is one of those programs, Ben. Remember we talked about a few weeks ago, I think, where I talked about the programs that it's the logo that means more than who was at that job. We talked about that, right? We talked about how Ole Miss is usually about the coach and the community is what Ole Miss is about. But a lot of these other programs, Ohio State, Alabama, you could say Georgia, LSU, like it's about the logo. It's about that school. And with Lane.
And the only reason Lane left is for a logo. He's still got that old regressive mindset. So he's at hot yoga in Baton Rouge this morning rather than being here in Oxford, Mississippi, preparing for a national championship title contending chase. Like he's going to chase the thing that he had quite literally in his face right now.
This he chased the logo. He chased the logo, Ben. And it's not even going to be about the logo when he gets there. It's always going to be about LK. I mean, LSU should just be CLK, Coach Lane Kiffin.
But if you're asking, is there going to be a lot of stuff come out from his personal life? It's already coming out. It's undeniable.
Yeah.
It's already coming out. Neil at 247 is apparently reporting that John Garrison and Kevin Smith are in Baton Rouge. Can't verify that. But, like, this is all negotiation stuff. All of it. Like, all of it is. Like, John Garrison thought after the Egg Bowl that he was fired one way or the other. I don't doubt that he would be in Baton Rouge. He's got to figure out if he's got a job.
What's Kevin Smith going to do on the LSU staff with Frank Wilson as the running backs coach? I'm confused.
Great question.
What's he going to coach?
Question. But then you're talking, well, so Ole Miss is the defensive staff is in place. That's why you're seeing losses on the offensive side in commitments like Corey Barber, because George McDonald, that group has been hit. Yes. Right now, Ole Miss, because they're not in the SEC championship game, kind of have a couple weeks to operate here. Now they can go about the process of filling out the staff of the head coach. Imagine if they were trying to do the head coach now with signing day coming up, then trying to build up. Like, there was the only option was Pete Golding. So your whole defensive staff is here. That's a better place to start than most any other option you had by far. So your defensive, yeah, your defensive staff is in place. Now you're negotiating, including with your current staffers like John Garrison and Kevin Smith and all those guys. They are both interviewing for Lane and they're interviewing here. You have to weigh your options. And if Lane says you can't coach in the playoff, maybe that's a thing. Maybe, I don't know. But right now you're seeing the negotiation process to fill out, to know what that staff's going to look like. And they have a little time there. It's going to hurt offensive recruiting for Ole Miss in the high school ranks this year. Tell me the last time Ole Miss had a high school player, Winnie Watkins. Take it back. Winnie Watkins, Caden Lee, but he's the first one in a while. Caden Lee was another one. Only wide receivers named like Shekhi Mills-Knight hadn't done anything for Ole Miss in year one.
Do you remember Aiden Williams and the lore when he first came in and how that
Caleb
worked out?
Cunningham was Mississippi's top prospect last year, five-star, and he didn't do much. Yep. So, like, high school impact is more muted than it's ever been, and that's where Ole Miss has done its best work in the portal, especially with wide receivers.
But that's right? going to change, right, Ben? Like, I 100% think the philosophy under Golding is going to become a lot more about cultivating these relationships, because the relationships he's got with the coaches in the state, Lane was, like, not even close to that. Like, the respect Pete Golding has across the state of Mississippi from his time, whether as a player at Delta State, coach there, coach of Southern Miss, he has, from one corner of the state to the other, relationships cultivated. And I think that's what I'm excited to see is, like, the portal's awesome. I love the portal, but I would love to get some homegrown players to build some of that depth. And
they have done that. Like Cam Franklin and William Eccles, they were ready to transfer if Lane was still the head coach. But yeah, Now that Pete's the guy, well, that's your two best defensive players, not just for this year, but for next year too. They're not going anywhere. So, again, mitigating the damage, right? Ensuring that the bleeding stops. It was all bleeding created by the guy who was supposed to be the leader of your program, but that's who Lane is, and you understand that that comes with the Lane Kiffin territory. But as far as frequently asked questions, and we've hit on a bunch of them, here's another one. How about John David Baker back on staff? He was Ole Miss's passing game coordinator. He's a candidate at South Carolina.
Give me Buster Faulkner, buddy. I've been toting that Buster Faulkner, whatever.
But John David Baker is a candidate. He is a candidate. You talked about him as a head coach. That's why we all gave you crap about it. But anyway, John David Baker is a candidate. I think he's very down the road with South Carolina. All this stuff is going to move pretty quickly, just as it did this weekend when there was nothing on Saturday to you, and then everything happened on Sunday. A lot of that. It's just because of the way, like the NCAA has to do something. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to host. I think there's going to be a real tough opponent coming, probably number 10 Alabama. Otherwise, I mean, should they be 4 or 5, maybe even 3? Absolutely. They have the best loss of anybody. They lost by a single score at Georgia, and everybody.
Okay,
loves
let's
Georgia.
Talk. Let's talk about that bracket a little bit, Ben, because
like
I
LSU
I
has
think
to pay
like,
playoff bonuses. They negotiated that, and y'all calling Ole Miss a cuck? Yeah. Well, please come. Okay, we'll pay all your bonuses, even though you're not coaching. We'll pay your bonuses. Yeah. Oh yeah, who's sitting in the cuck chair? Ole Miss fans, for better or worse, I've been a nicotine user most of my adult life. I've tried it all. So when I recommend Free Pouches with their convenience, fast flavor, and fast effect, trust that it's coming from someone who knows. Free Pouches is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want simple and hassle-free without all the smoke, vapor, or smell that comes with. Free Pouches range from 3 megs to 15 with flavors from mint and wintergreen to watermelon and lush. I've always been partial to wintergreen, just like I was when I dipped, but at least this time there aren't endless nasty bottles to clean up. No, Free Pouches sit comfortably and release flavor evenly. They're perfect for meetings, commutes, or when you just need to throw one in to calm the nerves of an Ole Miss game. Even better, Free Pouches pouches offer instant delivery straight to your door. So try free pouches today. Right now, Talk of Champions listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com with promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch.com, freepouch.com, and use my promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. Free, strength you can count on.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
That's hilarious. Okay, there is a world. I know the narrative right now being pushed is, well, if Ole Miss lost Kiffin, they'd get bumped. They may not host a let's die on that Buster Faulkner Hill Sudu. Tyler, you're damn right. I've been making calls, brother. I've been making calls around the state of Georgia to be like, would Buster come to Oxford? Now, I know Florida's very interested in bringing him as an OC too, but regardless, the narrative, Ben, right now is, well, Kiffin's gone. They're going to bump Ole Miss down. There is still a world where Ole Miss gets the sixth seed. Because think about it. If Bama loses in the title game, Bama's now a two-loss team, right? Or is it a two-loss or three-loss? Yeah, what is Bama right now?
Oh, gosh. I'm looking up standings.
Two, right?
Keep going.
Yeah. So, but there is still a world where the conference title games determine, like, the shifting of the rankings. I still think Ole Miss
Alabama's 10-2. I was like, there's no way. Yeah, Alabama's 10-2. Georgia's 11-1. Texas A&M's 11-1.
And the conference title games are funky right now. Like, that's the whole discussion of, like, is it even worth playing them? Because what like, Georgia lost to Bama that year in 2023 and didn't even get in, right? Like, and I know the playoff has since expanded to 12, but, like, do the conference title games still mean much? Like, if Bama loses, does Bama get bumped down because of the third loss, or do they keep Bama there? But you would have that's the good thing about staying at home for Ole Miss, is you're an 11-1 team regardless. You're going to have one loss on your schedule regardless, and I think that really will probably help Ole Miss. And I also do believe the national narrative is changing a little bit more now that Lane is gone. I think there's going to be a little bit more of like it's not right for Ole Miss to get bumped down just because a coach is gone. I've already seen some columns written about it from some national people, but if there's going to be any kind of influence, I think that could help Ole Miss. But
I got to say something to this guy. LSU didn't just steal your coach. He saw the best Ole Miss team in school history and still said, yeah, I'd rather go win real titles. Real titles? Where is LSU right now? You're with Regina George as a 50-year-old man, sitting at home for the postseason. Remember, Garrett Nussmeier was the favorite for the Heisman. This team, man, y'all are going to whoop everybody's butt. Y'all spent $18 million in the portal. The title that someone could actually win is in Ole Miss's face while you're in the comment section talking a lot of stupid crap. Y'all have no self-awareness here. Congratulations on Lane Kiffin. Now Ole Miss can focus on the thing that you hope Lane Kiffin delivers you, which is what Ole Miss is actually chasing, a title. It's comical that y'all think now Lane Kiffin's going to deliver you that when, like, the evidence says he won't. Maybe he does.
He hasn't won big games.
Anything of consequence in his entire career. Never a title. Never an SEC. Not even a conference championship in the SEC level. Surely he did at FAU. But let me ask you something. If Ole Miss had made a hire of a dude with Lane Kiffin's resume and was paying him Kirby Smart money, y'all would be in the chat saying the same dumb stuff. The same dumb stuff. Look at y'all old piss fans. Look, I told you. Y'all are stupid. It's comical. Yeah.
Kiffin's record, guys, let me just say this. LSU is built to win. LSU is a top three job in college football. I respect, as much as I don't like LSU as an Ole Miss fan, I respect LSU and the brand and what that team and program is. But let me just tell you, all your national titles in the whatever this era of college football have come in the BCS era, right outside of the Orgeron year, which was just insane. That's a generational team. I would find it very hard, especially in the current portal era, to see Lane stack up like they did under Orgeron. I really think that was lightning in a bottle. But that was back when Saban won, when Les Miles won. Those came in the BCS era, right? So oftentimes I was predicated upon you winning your conference. It was about winning the SEC.
Did I get a cut for that one too? Keeping up with the Kifdashians? Keep going.
Oh, yeah. Hey, scan the QR code. You guys are going to love those shirts. Travis A., check it out.
We aren't making anything off of them. We didn't design them. I am helping a friend. I haven't made nothing off of all this stuff. I'm not looking to.
Yeah.
But if we can help our friend Caitlin have a baby and then give the rest to charity, the Grove Collective, whatever, ain't nobody going to pocket it. Because I'm just happy that Ole Miss can move on. And LSU, I hope he delivers for y'all, man. And it'll be a hell of a fun ride.
He's got a great shot. But my point is, in this modern era, you now have to win what? If you get the first round bye, you have to win 3 games to win a natty. Otherwise, you have to win 4 games to win a natty, right? And that wasn't the case when LSU won their natties outside of the Orgeron one. It was, you win the SEC title game, you're in the whatever's considered the national title game that year, you win that game, boom, you're done. Like, the road is a lot harder as well. I have no doubt Kiffin will be in the playoffs at LSU, but, you know, I think using history to say, like, well, he's guaranteed to win a natty, it's like, oh, it's a lot harder now, too. It's not just like, you can't just win the SEC and you're set anymore. You still got to play Ohio State and Indiana and whatever, Alabama and all these people in the postseason. You have these extra games. It makes the road a lot harder. I really do wish him nothing but the best, but I still can be upset with the way he tried to completely torpedo a program on his way out that gave him everything and helped him on his redemption journey, which he ultimately trashed himself. But like, that's what these comments are funny. Like, you guys are crybabies. You're upset. Like, no, we're actually not. That's the fun part. Like, I'm excited that Pete Golding's the coach. Like, I'm not saying he's Lane Kiffin. Like, I would have preferred Lane Kiffin stay, but I'm like, hey, thank God this is over now. This program that is about to be in the playoff could focus on that now instead of this whole drama.
Well, and this guy right here keeps making comments. It's like, you can chill, bro. And also this guy too. Like, no, ain't nobody worried about you. You're the one hanging out in the middle of the day on a podcast of Ole Miss and you're an LSU fan. Like,
this is our job. Like,
this is what we do for a living.
This is what we make money doing. Yeah.
And I certainly don't take, you know, mirror selfies like that thinking it looks good on me. You know what I mean? Like, come on, bro. Yeesh. Like, you come on. My 13-year-old daughter loves them duck lips too. Like you doing. And you chalk calling somebody a crybaby. Oh man, what's wrong with y'all people? Ben Garrett, I hope you get Brian Kelly. You said that like 4 times. I see it. Yeah, okay.
Brother, Brian Kelly ain't coaching again. I would be shocked to see Brian Kelly.
No, I think he'll get a job, but he's going to have to go. Like, he's
no,
he's
does he want to coach is the question, bro. Brian Kelly was so checked out at that gig.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But to answer all the frequently asked questions, number one, will Ole Miss make the playoff? Yes. If they aren't, like, well, I'm not. None of us can predict for sure because you're dealing with unpredictable variables. You're dealing with people who could say, yeah, but I don't like it. That's not going to get as much TV money because Lane's not there anymore. You see what I'm saying? Like, there are guys in the room. That's the considerations. If it was just uniform, there ain't even a debate.
Yeah.
Ole Miss has the best resume. It doesn't matter that Lane Kiffin is here or not. But now the focus is on the short term. All right. How many coaches left? We know the entire offensive staff is in flux, the defensive staff in place. You have one side of the ball taken care of. That's why you're seeing some drop offs in commitments. You're seeing, and they're all coming mostly from the offensive side. They're in negotiations to try to bring Charlie Weiss back to be the offensive coordinator, but he's one of many offensive coordinator candidates that they will and are considering. John David Baker is another one. He's down the road with South Carolina too. So, like, Ole Miss has to move if it's going to be him, if he hasn't already been announced as we've been recording this. And for those of you that, quote, want me to release the Bentley files, I've reached out to Ulysses. I'm trying to get him on. We're working through it. We'll see what happens. Because at this point, it's all coming out. I mean, look at what's happening online with all of the screenshots and stuff, and all of it is real.
We're not
trying to do some salacious nonsense,
right? Like, I'm from Oxford. Ben lives in New Albany. Like, it's a small town, guys. Like, the stuff I've heard for a few years now is like, was all kind of told to me under, hey man, just make sure you keep this under wraps, blah blah blah. And I just discovered half the town has always known about it, like on Twitter. I'm like, this stuff that I was sworn to secrecy on is just now openly being aired out on Twitter. And I'm like, I guess it wasn't a secret. I guess the whole town really did know all this stuff. Once again, know this stuff in the sense of rumors. Not at all saying any of this is true, but I did go to high school with one of Lane's exes. Let me just say that.
Yeah. We've answered it. They're going to make the playoffs. There's no data point. Even when you're dealing with unpredictable variables like a stuffy old man in suit, there's no data point that says they should be left out. They have the best loss of anybody. Now, do I think because of those unpredictable variables that Ole Miss could drop to a seed it shouldn't, like 7? Absolutely. And draw Alabama at home when it should draw someone else? Absolutely. It's going to be a harder path. But Ole Miss would make the playoffs. Secondly, what about the commitment piece? Ole Miss is already in the process of that. I think you're going to see most of the class preserved. The offensive piece is what's up in the air. Right now they're negotiating with offensive coordinator candidates. I already mentioned two of them. Another one would be Buster Faulkner. I know that for an absolute fact. He's like the hottest name. I think John
bring
Summerall
him home. He does. That's what I've heard Summerall. And then I've even seen like Tulane might be interested in him as a coach, which you know how I feel. I think Buster's ready to be a head coach, but if Buster, who makes $1.5 million at Georgia Tech right now, who just made Haynes King look like a Heisman candidate for most of the season, comes to Ole Miss, I think you're looking at what, Ben, maybe 2.5 to get him here, maybe somewhere in that range. But you talk about a couple years in Oxford and success. That man's going straight to a Power Four job. He won't have to go Group of Five route. So it makes sense and Florida would make sense too. Like any SEC program that's willing to pay him double what he's making at Georgia Tech, which, by the way, that should let you know how good Buster Faulkner is. Georgia Tech is paying 1.5 for their offensive coordinator. So, you know, just look him up, man. This guy's extremely impressive. He was there for the national title runs at Georgia, was a big architect of that offense with Todd Monken, and what he's done with Brent Key and Haynes King in Atlanta with Georgia Tech has been super impressive. I just look at Buster's future and I go, man, you come to Ole Miss or Florida, whatever SEC program, but Ole Miss would give you a lot more comfortability to be yourself and do complete control of the offense. I think it would be special, man, especially if he could get Trinidad back another year. I'd be very excited to see what Buster Faulkner could do with him.
So he'd be a candidate. Also, hey, I'm 40 years old, still got a full head of hair. What you got of the mirror picks, bro? Like, come on. This is silly, man. Like, this is silly. God is good. 40 years young, married, 2 kids. Ole Miss can actually focus on the thing that's supposed to matter, not the false idol that you bow on your knee to and taking mirror picks for, bro. Enjoy them duck faces. So, yes, Buster Faulkner would be a candidate as well. And then from the offensive, from the preparation piece, that's where everything could kind of fall into place. I think you got to make the OC hire first. Kevin Smith, while yes, interviewing with LSU, negotiating with LSU, also Ole Miss would like to keep him. If Frank Wilson came open, that's somebody you want to talk to. They've already reached out to Derek Nix about joining the staff. He's coached both wide receivers and running backs. Did a great job for Auburn, stepping in as OC for DJ Durkin. You know, who I really still thought, like, if he'd have won the Iron Bowl, I think DJ Durkin was getting that job. I really agree.
I was convinced even after the Iron Bowl that he's probably gonna keep that job, man.
Yeah. End of it all, it's like Ole Miss is already in process of filling it all out, and doing all those things. And no one was scared to go to any airport, friend. I talked to Lane on the phone. I could quite.
Hey, man, this guy's a total troll. He just keeps posting the same stuff. I would just ignore LSU hype.
This is nuts.
Ben, it's probably like an 8-year-old kid. Just let's be nice.
Probably so. So anyway, it's fun because I didn't realize that, man, y'all were thirsty. I didn't know how thirsty y'all were.
No, they're definitely. Kren Beast, I think you're right. This reminds me of like when I was, 11 years old and, leaving comments on videos or something. Like these are kids. That watches college football would talk like, oh, maybe they would.
Is so funny. So yeah. That's the other piece is like, you got to fill that out. Derek Nix is another person they'd want to talk to. You could coach one or two. If Kevin Smith stayed, he probably coach wide receivers. They got a lot of options for him.
Can I ask you about Nix? What do you think Nix would coach? Do you think he'd come do like receiver? Cause like
wherever he would need. Like, I think he'd want to go back to wide receivers and like be passing game coordinator, but John David Baker is a candidate too. All of those things I think is going to come to a head today. As far as losing players, again, anything could happen. I would be absolutely stunned if any player of consequence that has put in those 5 a.m. runs, those miserable practices, would give up a playoff chase and title chase just out of loyalty to Lane Kiffin. It serves them no purpose. Now, at the end of the year, could they leave and go? Sure. But that's every single year. That's every year. I mean, Ole Miss had to battle to keep William Echols last year. And now that – and he made it very clear. He didn't want Lane to be the head coach anymore anyway.
Oh, LSU Hyper Ninja is definitely a 9-year-old. That's at least awesome. I'm popular on your show. Yes, you are, buddy. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Is there no school right now? Like, how's he? Is he in like?
Dude, he's like in oral communications. Just like, dude, watch this.
He's on his laptop with the voice. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Heck yeah!
Man. I remember those days, man. Good on you, buddy. Dude. Good on you, man.
Yeah. Any news on what offensive staff? That's what we're talking about. I don't think anything on that side, unlike the defensive side, is even remotely settled. Very much up in the air. But I do think you're going to see real resolution this week specifically on that. At the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Fleetwood on 3, sign up today for just $1. Man, we're talking about this. We'll have an OC board. We'll talk about other assistant stuff. And, man, I'm telling you, it's been an absolutely chaotic few hours, and I know a lot of y'all's heads, just like mine, are spinning, but now Ole Miss is doing the business of football and not the business of a cult of personality, which was supposed to be the whole point anyway, to get to 11-1 and go chase that title, and now they get to do so. Who calls the plays when Ole Miss does take the field for that playoff game? I don't know.
It's a joke.
I think it'll come from a bucket of a handful of guys, all right? I think calling that this is a great, stupid podcast topic. That's sure to be wrong, okay? But it's perfect for podcasts as we wrap this thing up, all right? I think the play caller for Ole Miss in its first playoff game hosting, I would assume, unless something ridiculous happens, which is college football. The coach calling the plays for Ole Miss in the first-round playoff game at host will be one of Buster Faulkner, Joe Judge, John David Baker, or Charlie Weiss.
Hey, you know how weird it is for me as a Giants fan, who, by the way, Jackson Dart is back tonight, baby. We got any Giants fans in here? Drake May, Jackson Dart's going to be lit. As a Giants fan, bro, it is so weird to me still that Joe Judge is on the Ole Miss staff.
Yeah.
And that he is not only on the Ole Miss staff, but is applauded, praised by Trinidad. Like, I hated Joe Judge when he was the Giants coach. Like, he was a problem as a head coach for the Giants. And now I'm over here like, Joe Judge might be calling the plays for the playoffs for Ole Miss, which if you would have told me that a few years ago, I would laugh at you. And I would have cried, probably.
What are the chances we drop out of the playoffs? Zero.
There's just no way. Zero. I mean, it would be the most scandalous thing to happen in the sport.
Yes.
The Florida State thing was bad, but it was like, I'm not saying I agreed with it because I didn't, but
no, it was nonsense. That was absolute nonsense. Don't ever let them off the hook for that.
Yeah.
Ever.
But it was your starting QB, like a player on the field who, like, with Ole Miss, it's like your roster is fully intact. The players who got you there are fully intact. So it would be even more ridiculous. Ben, a couple things I also wanted to touch on.
Before you hit me back with the rest of our frequently asked questions that we wanted to cover, because a lot of people got a lot of questions, I would be remiss if I didn't mention who all powers this podcast, any podcast that I'm on. My guy is over at Riverland Roofing, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. Visit them for all your roofing needs. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss in the name, image, and likeness space than Riverland Roofing. My thanks to them. If you're unhappy with or shopping your health insurance coverage, call Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, 601-953-8449. That's 601-953-8449. Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, quotes with drew.com. Also, B&A Bank, my hometown bank. Carolyn Brownson, Whit Spencer, looking for mortgage help, some financial advice, banking with people that actually feel like they have your best interest in mind. Go to B&A Bank. They've been my hometown bank my entire life, and I'm thankful to them. Also to Tannehill Carmen Real Estate and Title. They've served Oxford for over 20 years. Criminal defense, personal injury, real estate, probate, and estate planning. If you're buying a condo, climbing the property ladder, upsizing, downsizing, buying recreational property, give Zach Bonner and the team at Tannehill Carmen Real Estate and Title a call today. Thanks to all of them that have been so supportive of me and specifically this podcast. And if you're wondering about that QR code, that's a friend of ours who just created some merch because she's trying to have a baby, and the rest will go to the Grove Collective. And we just want to make something good out of something messy. And you speak of messy, I would include that to be the comment section today. So
up on my feed. Did you see that Paul Feinbaum brought up Jimmy Sexton earlier today on Get Up, and it was a very uncomfortable interaction. If you guys haven't seen this.
Dude, say what you want about Paul. He still got a little bit of that locality in him. You know what I mean? Started as a sports media personality, like local sports media personality that was kind of full of crap to most people in Alabama. But at least he'll still say what's real. And on his own network, he said that brought up the CAA piece because 75% of the talent at ESPN is written by CAA.
Well, Rex Ryan was on the desk. I don't know who it was. Rex is represented by CAA. You know what's funny? So my agent, I'm not with CAA. And I'm not trashing CAA at all. I'm not doing that. But like, luckily in this scenario, I'm like grateful that I'm not with CAA, because could you imagine if I was on this podcast, Ben, and I was toting water for CAA? Yeah. Like, I don't know, Lane. I don't know, you Ben. Know, I think Lane made the right call.
It's insane. And so like, credit to Paul. And I did see that. And I saw where Mike Greenberg, I've read the man's biography. That's I'm not knocking Mike Greenberg. He's like, you know, that's Rex Ryan's agents. And like Rex Ryan's sitting there with those beautiful veneers he's got in now. He's kind of like, but like, it speaks to how ridiculous this whole thing is. This whole exercise of college football is, everybody's ripped by CAA. They're all in it together.
Not me, baby. We're not CAA. Team
not
Max
even
Sports.
Y'all in the comments. Like, Team they're Max profiting Sports. Off of y'all and taking money out of y'all. Like, they're profiting off of your give a shit. See, I told you I wouldn't make it without one. I went almost a full show, man, without saying something bad. And being able to just say, hey, tell my preacher, be like, hey, yo, man, because I got to sing in like a Christmas choir program at church on Sunday, and I'd be able to say, hey, look, man, I did a whole show without saying one bad word. You know, Christ is good. Like, could God be the glory? Jesus is exactly who he said he was. And then I get to the 57-minute mark, and I say, sheesh.
It's all right, God. Benny.
We minutes is pretty good, though.
We all fall short. Ben, so question there from our friend, Ho Kiffin is his name. That's his name. What are we going to do to stop the decommits? Well, I think they're doing exactly what they needed to do, which was keep Golding. You're going to lose guys. Like, that's going to happen. Like, anytime a coach leaves.
But what you're seeing, if I'm not mistaken, is most of it coming on the offensive side, which makes
Jameson
sense.
Jameson Powell, right, from earlier today. Is maybe
Corey Barber. Yeah. There's going to be some of that. But you've got a couple of days to preserve. There's like Braylon Womack going to state would hurt.
The Trey Collins one was tough too, I think. But that's a 2027 kid.
Oh, yeah. But that's 27. We ain't no one worried about 27 a day. Those are tomorrow's problems, man. I could like, you know how many people, like, if we were worried about those kind of commitments at this time, Caleb Cunningham would be an Alabama, you know, elephant right now. He wouldn't be an Ole Miss Rebel. So right now, if you're asking about the decommit bleeding, I would first say you need to stop thinking about recruiting in that way. It's not about winning signing day. It doesn't matter where you're ranked, though Ole Miss will always be ranked in the top 20. That's not top five like Georgia or LSU or whoever every single year, but they'll always be consistently in that top 15 to 20 range. And they're going to beat everybody in the portal, not by overpayment, because organizationally they're so efficient and they're designed in a way that they do what they do better is better than what you do. So I wouldn't get caught up in rankings and going, well, this and the world is falling apart around you. Think of the minimal impact that freshmen make now, especially in the portal era. I would just let that play out. As far as the current roster, everyone as of today, there's been no opt-outs or anything from the players I've talked to. They're all good. So there might be one or two. I know there's rumors about Trinidad Chambliss and Kiwan Lacey to some. But at the end of, at the end of the day, I would be shocked if any of them, and y'all have heard me, I don't want to repeat myself over and over. That's a criticism that y'all have fairly levied against me for the last week. I do repeat things. It's true, though. I would be shocked if any of them gave that up. And as of right now, I'm seeing none of that. And if Charlie Weiss is one of, as this person is asking, is Charlie Weiss coming back for the playoff run? He could, but Ole Miss now has the time because it has a head man and has one side of the ball taken care of. Now it can actually take its time and vet the proper candidates, because they're not going to be really preparing for the playoff. Like, they're not losing anything. They'll go through regular practice. Like, when they go out recruiting and stuff, you might be thinking, well, they need to be preparing for the playoff. Well, they'll do that and they'll practice, but it'll be very basic practices. It'll be an hour that they've been doing every day for months and months and months. And when they go out recruiting, when like Lane would send them all out, all the assistants, you'd have quite literally a shell staff handling practice. That's how little they give. Like, Lane actually, he'll tell you he doesn't believe in practice that much. He doesn't go hard with them. He doesn't believe in that. He believes in preserving players, and he thinks that practice is kind of stupid. It's like the AI line, right? We're talking about practice. That's Lane's philosophy on it. So I don't think that piece is of concern. The most concerning thing is getting the hire right, because if Pete Golding is going to succeed, his offensive coordinator hire is going to be imperative.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah,
because he does have stability with Brian Brown, his co-defensive coordinator, being his now coordinator. If he brings Ron Roberts on to be another co-DC,
that would be awesome.
Side doesn't have to be settled now. All options are on the table. I would simply say, at least now it's stabilized to where you want about worry about bleeding. The bleeding, you'd already, you about bled out with the way that Lane Kiffin did this to you. At least now you went from a 5% chance of survival to, oh shoot, like they're coming around. Like they have a pathway here. And I'm talking about organizationally for the playoff, nothing changes. Now just go enjoy football. Be excited.
Yeah. And Ben,
Ed Chambliss and Kiwon Lacy are going to be your quarterback and running back in that first round game. Now, who's going to be his offensive coordinator? Sue, that's what we're trying to figure out.
And also, this is a moment like where Keith Carter obviously is very popular right now in the Ole Miss community, as he should be. But like, shout out to him because like he didn't panic in this situation. Like he was dragged to the past a deadline that it's impossible for an AD to operate within. And he could have just Hail Mary'd it. Like they could have just said, we got to scramble. We got to make a big splash and just taking a chance on some random group of five coach or another assistant or something. But he took the most strategic route possible. That's what Pete Golding was like. If you're running a business and you want to just make sure you're doing the best decision for the business, it was keeping Pete because it get the continuity. You keep players, the staff. I mean, having the entire defensive staff stick around was such a huge deal. Recruiting, it helps. I mean, you got the transfer portal window coming up. You got early signing day coming up. Like all these different things that just made absolutely no sense.
Please fix this calendar.
They got
this to. This is insane. Like, I don't want this to happen to anybody. I don't want it to happen to Lane in LSU when he inevitably wants to flirt with Alabama or whoever, like the NFL job that comes calling because he's always going to be chasing. Like LSU, I hope that you are treated more fairly and equitably when he does leave because make no mistake, he will leave. And that's okay. He gave Ole Miss 6 years. Ole Miss would have taken that. You're going to get the Lane Kiffin experience for 6 years. That's the longest he's been at anywhere. He was the fastest coach to 50 wins in Ole Miss history, but still has not won anything of consequence. In his
that man wants Kirby. Bama.
But he's being paid Kirby Smart money and Nick Saban money as if he's won like them and he hadn't. And he'll truly believe with his delusion that he'll be up for Alabama. And they're going to be, it's going to be a hard, dose of reality for all y'all because I don't think Alabama's even going to mess with it, especially to follow like that's Saban's school. You know what I mean? Saban ain't going to let that happen because don't let it get it twisted. He can get on there on ESPN and talk about on game day how you should let him coach in the playoffs. This is the same dude that kicked his butt to the curb and said you can't coach in the playoffs because you took the FAU job. They're all going to talk out of both sides of their mouth. So when will we get some intel and new offensive coaches? I think this week. I think that's going to come this week. You're going to start to see some trickle out. It's happening today because guys like John Garrison, guys like Kevin Smith, they have to interview with both of the prospective options that they have, LSU and Ole Miss, and make a decision. And some will go, maybe some will stay, but you're going to see that's what the priority is right now for Pete Golding and the Ole Miss organizationally, building out the offensive staff, and then pushing forward and moving forward because you really, like, unfortunately, they can't focus strictly on recruiting right now. Good thing for them, as someone made a great point of, a great example is Julian Sain signed with Alabama, and 6 months later, he was at Ohio State, and now he's a Heisman candidate. Thank you. Everybody loved signing day. I did. We used to build everything around it. Sudu was there. Signing day was
– I was there for AJ. I was there for a lot of those guys, man.
Man, I missed signing day. Like, I missed that it was college football, you know. It was college football's big day. It was like everybody paid attention to it. It was a very special event, and they got rid of it. And also, there's nothing tying these kids to anywhere. If you went back and you started to factor in recruiting rankings, both as transfer for the transfer classes and the high school classes, well, Ole Miss's ranking is going to be above LSU's for the last, you know, handful of years if you talk about results and stuff. Like, y'all want to win signing day, I understand it. But this bleeding is really completely superficial because what is truly important now is preserve that. Don't let it dump, you know, dump out and try to build it as much as you can. But that's less of a priority because of the muted impact that stuff has these days. Then what? Going and getting an offensive coordinator and making sure it's the right one, both for your future, yes, Pete, as head coach, but then to go win a title.
You see this?
11-1. Trinidad Chamblett. Yes. What is this?
That's Kiwon. Just posted this an hour ago of him and Winnie.
Okay.
No idea what that means.
Why are we trying to trying to get in the minds of kids posting on social media? Let's not play that game.
Because you know why? Because that they're doing it. There's a reason behind why they're doing it too, Ben.
I
know this from experience.
I think Winnie Watkins is going to follow.
But I don't know. I look at that. I go, I think they stick around for the playoffs.
Yes, but they're not going to leave for the playoff. That just seems insane. That I'll be shocked if that would tell me that they're just like the man that they apparently idolize. Y'all, you say we're about winning championships. You still hadn't won one lane. And when you finally had one in your sight, like, dude, it's right there. You said, yeah, but I want to go win a theoretical one over there with them. I mean, y'all are
more power to them, man.
So if they, and like, I, power the world's changed out there. Could a couple of players be like that too? Oh, absolutely. I could see that. But from the players I've heard from, multiple starters, dude, they're ready to go win a title. You should be too. And now you can focus on that and not this stuff in a new era for Pete Golding. I'm Ben Garrett. He's Sudo Upadeya. I love you, dude.
Hey, I got to – before we go, we haven't done conference title predictions. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, we haven't.
You're jumping out of here, man.
Well, I know because I'm getting hit. I got to do some – oh, you said two things before we go. You actually told me that. I wasn't paying attention.
I know. Well, first of all, I want to talk a little Heisman with you because I was totally against Diego.
Oh, no. We've lost Sudo. Folks, we've lost Sudo. He's gone black. Whatever will we do without him? I'm Ben Garrett. He's Sudo. We will do conference stuff. We'll do Heisman stuff. We'll do just that for another podcast. Hey, for all y'all in the comments, it was really fun. Even the trolls, especially the trolls, because that's the spirit of the thing. The spirit of the thing is not leaving a playoff team on the cusp of the thing you say that you're out to get every single year. It's not that. The spirit of the thing is being all in with your team, the we versus the I, and go win the whole daggum thing, right? We can all appreciate, like, it's fun to talk crap to opposing fans. Like, yes, I see y'all on here. I love it. Sudo's in the studio. He's still black. But thank y'all for visiting, man. Thanks for hanging.
You got me?
I was about to hang up.
I don't know what happened. I was about to.
I had a nice thing. I was telling all these LSU people, hey, I love the trolling. It's fun. That's the spirit of the thing. Dead gum. But if you would like, how about this? We'll do the Heisman and the conference stuff. We will do that in a separate video later this week. We'll do specifically that, just talking about ball, talking about the SEC championship game, talking about whatever comes from Ole Miss. Sudo and I would do this every day if I could. And I think Sudo would too. So thank y'all for supporting us. And we're going to do another one. I say we shoot for, Wednesday?
Yeah, let me double check my schedule.
Wednesday or Thursday? I'm trying to put.
We can do another episode this week. I'm
but you know why, folks? Because Sudo, he don't commit. He's for the streets. Bye, buddy.
All right, guys. I'll see y'all, man.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.